The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're here in our new studio, as so many of you now know, still making a few tweaks here and there. Had a great time last night, by the way, at the concert. Hopefully some of you were able to listen to or view the live stream at the armstrongauditorium.org website. We had our very own Mark Jenkins, along with several other very, very talented musicians, playing some wonderful jazz tunes in the auditorium. So I forget when the next concert is. It's coming up, I would imagine, in a month or so. So we'll keep you posted on other events that you can either attend here if you live in the area, or that you can watch online if you like. Well, we've talked often on this program about what Satan the devil, our adversary, the god of this world, what it is that he fears the most. What does Satan hate the most? Well, he hates being exposed. He does not want to be exposed. The Bible says that he sees himself as an angel of light. He sees himself as a light bringer. He sees himself as a truth teller. And yet Jesus came along and exposed him for what he was and is. He said, you're a father of lies and murder. He's a prince of darkness. He's not an angel of light at all. Yesterday, you might have seen the train wreck of an interview between Newsmax now, and Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. He's on this supposedly conservative news network, and he makes the mistake of bringing up voter fraud, of talking about the Dominion machines, of talking about evidence that he's seen of widespread voter fraud. And Newsmax, particularly the reporter in the middle, you'll see the triple split screen here in a moment. But listen to the man in the middle. I don't know his name, but listen to what he says about, look, we brought you here to discuss censorship of all things. And the Dominion issue's already been settled. And so what do they proceed to do? Well, they proceed to censor Mike Lindell. You can't even bring it up. You can't even talk about Dominion. You can't even talk about voter irregularities. That's where we are now. You can't bring the subject up. Not even on a conservative network. Here's clip 13.
Well, first, mine was taken down because we have all the election fraud with these Dominion machines. We have 100% proof. And then when they took it down about 3 weeks ago, when I put it back up, my personal, I put it, it was a
Mike, thank you very much. Mike, you're talking about machines that we at Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those kinds of allegations. We just want to let people know. So we wanted to talk to you about canceling culture, if you will. We don't want to relitigate the allegations that you're making, Mike. Okay, Mike, can I ask our producers, can we get out of here, please? I don't want to have to keep going over this.
Actually, Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those allegations. Mike, hold on a second. Everybody, hold on a second. Mike, hold on 1 second. Let's talk a little bit about...
He walks off the set like a spoiled child. He's shouting him down. He's shouting over him. He does not want to hear it. It's like he's screaming and holding his hands over his ears. Mike, we've already been there. We're not going to go there again. Mike, we can't verify it. Mike, we can't verify. Mike, we brought you here to talk about cancel culture of all things. And then they cancel him. and then they cancel him. How, if Stacey Abrams comes on the same program tomorrow and talks about, she still hasn't accepted losing the Georgia governor's race in 2018. She says it was stolen from her. She believes she was cheated against. You think they're going to treat her that way? Well, of course not. She's Stacey Abrams. She's a potential presidential candidate in 2024. You treat her the way that they just treated Mike Lindell. You treat her that way, and all of a sudden, you're going to be a racist. You're going to be a misogynist. That's the rules. That's the way it works. For Democrats, for the radical left, it is a matter of routine to challenge every election result if the Democrat loses. But now you see where that we are. And look, this is just more proof positive that January 6th was a complete and total setup. Who was behind it? Well, we know it was the devil. You can't even discuss voter irregularities now because of the so-called insurrection. I don't need to go back and look at video and see, okay, who's Antifa? Who was a Trump supporter? How many plans did the Antifa people have going into January the 6th? We know what the devil hates and fears the most is being exposed. And so he's behind it all. He's behind it all. As we come into impeachment next week, the president and his legal team, they're being told, look, you can talk about how that this impeachment is unconstitutional. You can talk about how that they can't impeach someone who's technically out of office now. But don't you dare discuss voter irregularities. Don't you dare talk about voter fraud. And notice how even some of his strongest supporters, I'm talking about President Trump, even some of his strongest supporters have just caved into the pressure. They don't want to be treated like Mike Lindell. And that's on Newsmax. It'll be interesting to see how Newsmax does in the weeks ahead, with its ratings, I mean. They were there picking up a lot of Fox News' audience. But now on voter fraud, you see, it's unanimous. It's all across the board. Can't even be discussed. This is Ted Cruz, again, one of the president's stronger supporters. This was Ted Cruz in an interview the other day, clip 12.
President Trump's rhetoric, I think, went way too far over the line. I think it was both reckless and irresponsible, because he said repeatedly, and he said over and over again, he won by a landslide. There was massive fraud. It was all stolen everywhere. That evidence, the campaign did not prove that in right. any court.
Right.
Right. And there's the conservative commentator yet again. Right. Right. Yeah. That evidence, they didn't prove that in court. The courts would not hear it. The courts dismissed those cases on technicalities, on standing and the like. There never was a court that would listen to the evidence. Newsmax will not listen to the evidence. The impeachment trial, the sham impeachment, that's next week. It'll be interesting. Will they even listen to the Trump team if they talk about voter irregularities? Hopefully President Trump will stick to his guns and expose this fraud. The entire impeachment proceeding is a sham. That's fake. That's irregular. That's unconstitutional. But everybody can go forward with that. President Trump and his team, well, he certainly can't talk about how that the election was stolen. That gets you censored. That gets you deleted. This was a tweet from a Politico reporter yesterday. He said, Lindsey Graham, again, this is another one of the president's supporters, or at least he seemed to be. Lindsey Graham tells me that if Trump's legal team starts trying to prove that Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin were stolen from Trump, that's when you're going to lose everybody. That's when most of us will be ready to move on. That's from Politico. We don't know for sure if that's the truth. That's his take on Lindsey Graham's position. Mitch McConnell, he's been weak. So many weak, weak Republicans, like my father keeps saying. They're being attacked. They're in the midst of a war, and they don't even realize it. They don't even know it. Even Ted Cruz saying, well, it's never been proven in court. There's never been a court that's listened. And then they were about to present some evidence at that January 6th hearing, the certification day. And then the setup happens. The so-called insurrection, the coup d'etat. And Republicans then caved in, and they have ever since. The rare lone voice that's out there, like Mike Lindell, he's the crackpot. He's the crazy. He's the religious fanatic. Can't even bring it up. He can't even discuss it for 60 seconds without the reporter at Newsmax throwing a tantrum. Yesterday, I didn't even play the clip. It was Mika Brzezinski. Here, the Lincoln Project, this hateful group that's just been on the attack against President Trump from day one, headed up by a pedophile, co-authored an op-ed with George Conway. George Conway's on MSNBC yesterday. Mika says, hey, do you want to comment? He says, I don't have any comments. I don't even know what to say. And then she says, okay, well, thank you for coming on for the interview this morning. The interview was less than 60 seconds. That's all that they're going to devote to that story. Mike Lindell can't bring up Dominion, the Dominion voter system, for 6 seconds without being shouted down. You look at what the media has covered up over the past year. Just in the past year, Hunter Biden's laptop. And it was true. The story was true. The New York Post was right. And yet they were censored before the election. All that news last year about hydroxychloroquine, whatever, however you pronounce that, but the president was for that. And, you know, we're not pro drugs on this program. But that's the way of this world. But because President Trump plugged that particular drug, you had the major media try to cover it up, try to censor him, try to say that it's not a good drug, don't take it. And now that he's out of office, now they're quietly admitting, well, yeah, the drug is effective. I guess it does work. Then throughout the year, you had all of these states changing the laws with respect to the November 3rd election, the voting, mail-in voting, mass mail-in voting. And there was the media covering it up, all of these unconstitutional changes. Joe Biden, he was hiding out in the basement, and the media all throughout 2020 provided cover for him. And they've provided cover for his mental decline as well. They're still doing that. You know about all the riots last summer? And yet all the statements coming from Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, it's overwhelmingly peaceful. Kamala Harris raised $20 million to get people that were burning cities down and destroying businesses to get them out of jail. And the media, they're very quiet with that. They tell us that the riots were just peaceful protests. And then now you see how that they've handled the Lincoln Project. 21 people coming forward. This is a tweet from Jack Posobiec. He says, we're now hearing or learning many high-level journalists covered up the child grooming of Lincoln Project's founder in order to delay the story until after the election. Not only is this a complete breach of ethics, it may be illegal conduct. Hope they have good lawyers. Well, you think anyone's going to be punished for that? Delaying this story. I played the clip for you yesterday. Karl Rove, he knew about it since 1988. The media, how much did they know? Well, we'll never know. But here's this Jack Posobiec tweet saying they knew and they covered it up. Now we come to the sham impeachment. You can bring up anything you want except voter fraud. Think about that for a second. The president has never been given a fair hearing. And you have people, even on the Republican side, that are trying to establish the rules of the hearing next week. Don't bring it up. If you bring that up, Lindsey Graham says, that's where you're going to lose your Republican support. Evidently, those five lawyers that the president fired a week or two ago, evidently the dispute was over whether or not they could discuss voter fraud. You've got lawyers, attorneys being pressured, threatened in some cases. Don't even go there. You see the kind of hostile reaction it provokes to even go there. It made me think this morning about the lawsuit that we had over Mystery of the Ages going back to 2002, 2001, 2002. Throughout this litigation, we were sitting on the other side of a table across from the representatives for the Worldwide Church of God, and we heard them lie and lie, and they talked the talk. I mean, they sounded like an angel of light. But they talked about how they really cherished their property, Mystery of the Ages. They had all these plans for an annotated version, and they were going to e-publish these works. Joe Jr. wrote in his book, we have a Christian duty to keep it out of print. He told the world that. And then we get into the courtroom, then we get into the litigation, then we get into the depositions, and what did we hear? No, we're going to use this material. Yeah, we actually, it's valuable to us. You've damaged us by printing it. We've got plans to e-publish. And we had to sit through that for months. You're going to e-publish this after you said you had a Christian duty to get rid of it? Well, they came forward with their e-publishing plan, and we found out, I think it was in 2002, that they were going to print Mystery of the Ages online, but they were going to preface it. It was a 1,500-word preface, the infamous preface, as we call it in Raising the Ruins, that said that Mr. Armstrong was a lunatic. Mr. Armstrong was a heretic. Mr. Armstrong was ignorant. Herbert W. Armstrong was ignorant. He stole his teachings from other people. He was a thief, a liar. That was that. If you were a reader coming into the so-called e-publishing effort, you saw Mystery of the Ages online. Those would be the first 1,500 words that you read. My father read that preface, and then he wrote this to our lawyers. He said, this is from June 11th, 2002. He said, the preface to the WCG e-publishing sham is the opportunity we have been waiting for. This is in chapter 22, by the way. He says, I feel like we can now go on the offensive as never before with an even bigger goal in mind. Writing a book, of course we did that, Raising the Ruins. I strongly believe that our answer to the preface is going to make them feel the heat. Perhaps we lost the appellate court decision because, this is again what we wrote to our attorneys, perhaps we lost the appellate court decision because the WCG made a few comments labeling us a cult. The preface allows us to answer the cult attack. They were basically saying Mr. Armstrong was the leader of a cult. He was a heretic. And now here's Mystery of the Ages, in case you want to read it. We wouldn't stand for that. It says the preface allows us to answer the cult attack, but it gives us a greater opportunity. We can now expose them for what they really are, a cult, and much worse, they're guilty of what they accuse us of. That's what my father's saying to our attorneys here. It says here, at the same time, I believe we can help the judge and jury to understand the PCG's true motives. He says, finally, they say a battle is 50% won when you go on the offensive. The way we look at it, this preface gives us much greater opportunities in the upcoming depositions and trial. I believe this is the only way we can win. We've got to tell the whole story. Now, what I don't elaborate on much in that particular chapter is how strenuously our attorneys objected to this approach, to this strategy. Right up to this time, we were basically, okay, there's the fair use doctrine. I mean, there's free speech issues here. There was a federal statute called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. These are some of the legal arguments that we were presenting in court. But as my father was saying to our attorneys in June of 2002, look, we've got to expand our argument. We've got to tell more of the story. We've got to expose these people for who they are, for what they've done, for the fraud. And the attorneys did not want to go there. They wanted to keep it just, they wanted to just make the legal argument in the strict sense of the word. We just have to focus on the legality here. Was it legal? Of course, we said from the beginning, of course, it's even constitutionally, it's legal for us to do this. But you'd go from one judge to the next. One judge would agree with us, another judge wouldn't. So now we came to this infamous preface. You had the Christian duty statement and transformed by truth, and now you have this preface. And like my father said, this is the way we're going to win. We've got to expose the fraud here. And we had to really apply some pressure on our attorneys and remind them that, look, we value your understanding of the law and precedent and your ability to research cases and that sort of thing, but we're paying for your services. And we're going to expose them for what they've done. So this is what my father wrote in June of 2002. And then what happened over the course of that summer is that we had a second round of depositions with all of these Worldwide Church of God officials, Joe DeCotch Jr., Mike Fazell, Bernie Schnippert. They were all sitting across the table from us. And we were getting into the legal arguments, but we were also quoting them. We were quoting from their own articles, from their own books, from their own memos of discovery and such. We were saying, now you told the people, your brethren, this, but then you went and did this. We exposed the hypocrisy. We exposed the lying, the deceit, the fraud. And what did that lead to? Well, I don't want to get here and tell you everything about Raising the Ruins. You can go and read that book to get the whole story. But my father was absolutely right. He was completely right when he said, this is the only way that we can win. We can't just argue RFRA and fair use and all those things. We've got to expose them. You look at the way the devil is trying to limit the legal arguments. Just keep it into the constitutional arguments about whether this impeachment is valid or not. He does not want anyone representing Donald Trump to go in the direction of voter fraud, even though that's all that the Democrats do when they lose. Stacey Abrams still hasn't conceded. How about that? And she's a potential presidential candidate. They revere her on the Democrat side. They love the fact that she didn't concede. Listen to Lindsey Graham. I told you about that tweet from Politico. The fact that he doesn't want the president to even get into it. Just a few days after the November 3rd election, when the president, as you know, was rightfully crying foul. This is fraud. This election was stolen. That was on November 3rd when the steal happened. And this is Lindsey Graham. I think this is from November 6th. So just a few days after the election, and The Guardian had this video on its website, clip 11.
Democracy depends upon fair elections. President Trump's team is going to have a chance to make a case regarding voting irregularities. They deserve a chance to make that case. I'm going to stand with President Trump. If a Democrat were doing this, it'd be cheered on. And we're not going to let the media intimidate us into exploring whether or not these contests were fairly had. Because what I believe is that when Stacey Abrams challenged the Georgia results, the liberal media in this country praised her for standing up for democracy, that when a Republican challenges a contest, we're accused of undercutting democracy.
That's Lindsey Graham from November 6th saying that we're not going to let the media intimidate us. We're not going to let the media tell us what we can and cannot talk about. That's November 6th. And then now what are they saying today? January 6th, that changes the facts. Now he doesn't deserve a hearing even. Ted Cruz says he's never proven it in court, when he knows he's never had his day in court. We're not going to be intimidated by the media. Well, that didn't last for very long, did it? That line of defense. Now they've all caved in. Caved into the pressure. There was a documentary last March, so this goes back a year. This was during the campaign season. It was put out by HBO. It's called Kill Chain. And you know what it's about? It's an hour-long documentary about how easy it is to manipulate elections, how easy it is to tamper with voting machines. And you know who they pull forward to make their case? Democrats. That's right, Democrats. This is a documentary that probably has slipped down the memory hole. I'm not sure if HBO's out there promoting it today. If they did, surely they'd be censored. Can't bring it up. It's a fascinating documentary. And you know what the documentary does? It exposes all of the areas. And there were a lot of areas where they cheated. But this documentary exposes it in advance. This is from March of 2020. You'll hear from Senator Amy Klobuchar in the first clip here. She ran for president on the Democrat side. And here she is in this clip from HBO last March. She's expressing her concerns about the fact that there's only really three companies here. It's like they've got a monopoly on the electronic voting systems. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, she said. What would she say today? Oh, she's very quiet today, you see. She was there at the fake inauguration, introducing the fake president. You can't talk about voter irregularities now because they've got the Democrat in there. But here she is in March of last year. This is less than a year ago on an HBO documentary called Kill Chain, clip one.
We have three main election vendors that are running the election machinery that run our democracy in this country, Dominion, ES&S, and Hart.
We're very concerned because there's only three companies. You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
We don't know anything about how they organize themselves and how their software works because it's all proprietary.
The degree to which the voting machine companies will say, we got this, that's almost always a warning sign for anybody in the cybersecurity business, because unless they are really truly skilled and have been doing cybersecurity as their main business for a long time, they usually don't got this.
They usually don't. They come out and say, hey, everything is secure. Hey, we've had great success. Nations all over the world. And, you know, you heard Klobuchar in the middle saying how easy. She ran for president on the Democrat side. She says how easy it is to hack these systems. And there's only three of them. There's only three of them, and we don't even really know how their software works. And they won't tell us. And so throughout this documentary, you have these cybersecurity experts. You'll see a guy named Jake Staffer in the next clip. He's a cybersecurity, or represents a company that was called on for this documentary to test voting machines. And he carried out tests with one company, I forget the name, and then the other one, of course, we're familiar with. It's Dominion. This is what gets you shouted down today. This is what leads to Newsmax journalists just walking off the set. You don't even talk about this. And in March of last year, an hour-long documentary on HBO. Not exactly a bastion of conservative values, but there they were. Listen to this cybersecurity expert in the next clip, clip two.
What I have found, especially in the voting system arena, is that security is not really taken very seriously. We posted a testing plan with the California Secretary of State's office saying we were going to do X, Y, and Z, and they approved that plan, and so we started that plan of testing.
Voting on the DS200 is as easy as 1, 2, 3. The DS200 digital scanner is a simple-to-use yet cutting-edge.
And what we found is just, it's staggering. There were multiple vulnerabilities that could allow an attacker to get the highest level of privilege or the highest level of rights and then gain remote access into the system and do what you want to do, whether it's change an election or shut the system down.
Our dedication is to the absolute highest standards of accuracy, security, and reliability. We believe in honesty, commitment, trust, and respect.
And when ESNS discovered that we were not using their testing plan, so they were appalled. When we used our own testing plan and found these vulnerabilities, they pretty much told us that they had their own team and that they were not interested. The fact that we have vendors that say you cannot look at our code is the first problem.
The first problem is they don't want any outside audits. They've got their testers on the inside, you see? And this cybersecurity expert says that's the first sign. That's the first sign of a really bad sign. If they're saying, just like the Georgia officials, remember all this from the last few months? Look, we've already counted, we've recounted, we've audited, we've looked at the machines, everything. Everything that you've requested. Well, can we get an outside group to come in and evaluate this? Oh, no, we can't do that. We have tested it ourselves. You just take our word for it. And then you listen to their promos, and what are they saying? It's secure. We're very honest. We tell the truth. We're angels. All of us are angels of light. We're truth tellers. We're just here to tell you the truth. There is nothing to worry about here. This is a video that today, I guess, would be censored. You can see why we haven't resumed broadcasting on our YouTube channel yet. How are they going to treat this material? They're going to treat this material that I'm talking to you about today like the Newsmax journalist did to Mike Lindell. Just shout it down. Censor him. Remove him from Twitter. Take him off YouTube. Do not let him speak. And if it's the Trump team next week at the impeachment hearing, do not bring up voter fraud. HBO brought it up last year. Listen to clip three.
In 2014, we evaluated Dominion's democracy suite.
We're on the forefront of really something that is going to be accessible, it's going to be cost-effective, and it's going to be efficient.
We'd found a number of vulnerabilities. The same thing that with ESNS. We found multiple operating system patches missing. And essentially what that means is an attacker can inject code into that system, execute that with the possibility of receiving some sort of control. If I can get on that system, if I can get access to the database, and if I can change the elections, change an election for a city, for a county, for a state, however. how can a vendor sell a voting system with this many vulnerabilities? And I can't find a straight answer.
He can't get an answer from them. The only answers that he gets are like what you hear in their promo videos. This is great. It's innovative. It's going to be cost effective. It's going to be totally secure. We've run tests on it ourselves internally. Everything is just perfect. It's like Chris Krebs. If he says it's perfect, then it must be perfect. It's not to be questioned. Not after a Democrat wins by cheating. Now, before November 3rd, they revealed themselves here. I mean, this documentary is like their Christian duty moment. They're laying it out. This is how you cheat. I can't even believe there's this many vulnerabilities. And I'm asking all of these officials about these vulnerabilities. I can't get a straight answer. I can't believe it. Listen to clip 4.
A lot of developers today developing applications which are critical don't really know what they are doing, and they are simply picking up a ready-made blocks and building the application by using these blocks, and not that careful, because people are only looking, is it functional?
And I think that's probably one of the issues that the vendors are having, is that they don't know what they have in those systems. They don't know what code is in those systems. They just make it work and they sell it. We should know every single line of code that is in that software. We should know every bit and byte that goes across the lines and that hardware. And we should be able to validate that. We should have procedures to validate that everything that we're doing is the right way of doing things.
They don't, as he says there, they don't really know what's in the system themselves. They don't know. They just make it work and then they sell it. And they're not going to tell you about all the vulnerabilities. They're not going to tell you. In this next clip, you'll see these people basically opening up the machines to even show viewers of this HBO documentary of just how many ways hackers can get in. And whether it's a state actor or a lone wolf or a lone attacker, in either case. And then they've actually had studies that have proven this. Hackers that can just get in easily. Listen to clip 5.
You showed years ago how just putting in a card with a special file name could rewrite all the software in the machine, make it do whatever you want.
I mean, there are no two ways about it. This is architecturally not a safe way to cast votes. And boy, I'm worried now more than ever about nation-state attackers, about real state-level attacks on these machines.
That's true. However, I still think that the one problem with the nation-state attacks being talked is that it gives you a false sense of security, that the lone wolf and smaller guy cannot do it themselves too. Everything we discovered, how easy these are hackable for lone wolf, is still true too.
Just look at this motherboard. There's so many different wires connecting to it. Each of these is a different type of input or output device. These machines want to be talking to other devices. They're built for it. And that's what magnifies the threat, because ultimately, just hacking one machine, coming up to one, opening it up, resoldering it, that's not an attack that will scale. But the thing that will scale is piggybacking on the data that's being copied into the machines. That's what's going to allow an attacker to upset an election across an entire county, an entire state, an entire country.
County, state, or country. That's what makes it so easy for attackers. It talks in this next clip about Georgia in particular. Georgia! This HBO documentary from last March. And all that Georgia was bringing in, these new systems, all of these Dominion machines. And of course, they're telling everybody that it's going to be totally secure. It's going to be just perfect. Most of the people in this documentary, they're looking at this, the vulnerabilities, and they are just saying, how could any nation use this? How could any nation or state, how could any state rely upon this? That's on HBO last March. HBO. Here's clip six.
Georgia is buying new election machines for the whole state to replace the AccuVote voting machines that we know are insecure. And they are replacing them with another set of machines that are also insecure because they use barcodes, and barcodes can be hacked.
The model that is their favorite choice right now is the Dominion ImageCast.
The ImageCast X will not permit the voter to overvote a contest, to change
what this does is it's a touchscreen machine. The voter enters their vote, and what is spit out is a paper ballot. And their votes are encoded as barcodes. The vote itself is in that barcode. No humans I know can read barcode very well. And it's that vote that is then put into a scanner and counted. It is, again, putting a computer between the voter and his ballot. Putting a computer between a voter and his ballot is going to make sure that you don't have an auditable, reliable election.
So even though the election officials in Georgia are paying lip service to the fact they now have a paper trail, they are creating a paper trail that in fact can't actually be audited.
It's just one witness after another, can't be audited. They talk about a paper trail, and we heard this. We heard this in November and December from Georgia state election officials. Oh, yeah, the machines, they're everywhere. And the great thing about them is there's a paper trail. The paper trail, so says HBO in March of last year, cannot be audited. Why would any state, why would a nation rely on this with this many vulnerabilities? And that's exactly what so many of these swing states and swing counties did. They relied upon this kind of technology so that they could cheat. And then when they're called on the carpet for it, they refuse to release the machines or the technology, the software. They refuse to have it audited. They certainly are going to refuse a forensic audit, and from an outside party for sure. They'll tell you all the way that, well, we checked it out internally. And that's the first sign. So said HBO last year. I'm just trying to paraphrase what HBO taught us last year in March. That's all. Just trying to give you a little bit of what HBO was sounding the alarm last March about all of the vulnerabilities, about all of the dangers. No evidence, says Newsmax yesterday. No evidence of voter fraud. And so the host, he just shouts down Mike Lindell. And he pulls off his mic and he exits the studio. Our producers told me there's no evidence. So we're not even going to discuss it. We're here to talk about censorship. Can you at least just talk about censorship? And he leaves the set. This last clip that we'll play for you. In 2016, there was a vote in Alaska that was tampered with. It was infiltrated, the voting systems up in Alaska. And officials there, they knew that a hacker had gotten into the system. A hacker had gotten inside. They traced it back to a man in India. So it was outside the United States. Here's what this individual said about the access that he gained to that Alaska system in 2016. Clip 7.
I could have made any changes in the system. I mean, the changes like deleting the candidate. I could kick anyone out. I could alter any data, any vote. It was such a rush that at that particular moment, I felt like I was the god at that time. The only problem was that even if I could change the result, there might be something that I would miss that would produce some kind of indication or system alert. And the most fear inside a hacker's life or inside my mind that day was, if I get caught, then I'll be destroyed. My team will be destroyed. Many other people involved with me will be destroyed. So that was at the same moment which pulled my legs back and said, do not edit anything, just see what is going on. Then we can plan or take out or execute our next steps. That's why I didn't make any changes.
So he infiltrated the system, and as he explains there in that thick accent, hopefully you could understand it, but he explains that he was in the system, but he didn't want to get caught, so he didn't make any changes to the votes. So he backed out. He was there. It was easy. He did it from India. That was in 2016. But thankfully, 4 years later, in the United States presidential election, thankfully, there's nobody on earth that would have any kind of motivation to get in and cheat in a presidential election involving Donald J. Trump. Thankfully, that could never happen. Thankfully, this time it was totally secure. So says Chris Krebs, the former head of cybersecurity in the Trump administration. Yesterday, one of our producers, Sam Livingston, in the Edstone office, he contacted Maria Zach. She's the one that's claimed that they cheated in Italy, that some of the cheating was coordinated in Italy, and it even involved the U.S. Embassy. It seems like Newsmax would at least be interested in looking into this. I guess they found that there was no evidence a few weeks ago, maybe a month or certainly since January the 6th. What if some new evidence comes forward? What if something new is discovered? This is what Maria Zach has been out there trying to get it out there. Not very many people will even listen to her. Sam discussed the many, many ways that an election can be tampered with or can be corrupted. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of ways, and that's why there's thousands and thousands of affidavits that the Trump legal team was able to collect in November, in December. And they were prepared to, some of them anyway, to argue their case on January the 6th. But that's the day the facts changed. There was an insurrection on that day. There was a coup attempt against the United States Capitol. And so we now know, because of that, we now know that there was no voter fraud, that there was no election steal. Here's Maria Zach and her phone conversation with Sam yesterday discussing the many ways that an election, even in the United States, can be tampered with. Here's clip 8.
The other affidavits are very troubling, that the machines, when they arrive, are supposed to have a seal on it.
Yeah.
And they arrived very late. They blamed the moving company that was supposed to supply them. But what was also troubling was that the seals had been broken, and they were pretty much told, well, too bad, you're going to have to still accept them because you won't be able to open your poll on time this morning, and people won't be allowed to vote if you don't accept them with the broken seal. That is very problematic and illegal. It is against the law, and that's the problem, that nobody's holding up the rule of law. And everybody, I don't care what party you are, should be upholding the rule of law and having those fair and free elections and having that process in place.
But see, that's the problem. When you're in a lawless society, the law breaks down. They were changing the rules heading into November the 3rd. You know about all of that history. And here she is saying that, look, there's a thousand different ways to get in there and cheat. She talked in particular, she kind of focuses on Georgia. Here again, Georgia. And she mentioned how that after November 3rd, how difficult it was just to get information from the Georgia Secretary of State's office just to get them to provide information. Look, we have concerns. We have concerns about, can you at least give us this information? No, we've got to keep that under lock and key. It's been examined. Our team has examined it. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. She said, she obviously talked in this interview with Sam about the D'Elia affidavit. This is the IT guy that worked at Leonardo SBA, who basically came forward and said, my company was involved in switching votes from Biden to Trump, or rather from Trump to Biden. He's the one that talked about how the system was overwhelmed because Donald Trump was getting so many votes. This is a person, a real live person in Italy. And Maria Zach explains how that he got a lawyer, one of the top lawyers in Italy, to take his statement, to convert it into an affidavit. And then this guy, just in December of last year, he ends up getting arrested on trumped up charges in Italy. So some really fishy business going on. This is, again, one more clip from Maria Zach's interview with Sam yesterday. And this has to do more with the D'Elia affidavit, clip 9.
We did receive multiple accounts that people went back and reviewed the arrest records and the statements by Leonardo and how they don't add up. There were several things that did not check out. And that is also leading to what we knew anyway, because we knew what he was confessing to. We know he told his wife. And so we know that he did that, you know, right after the election. So this was not something that carried on and waited and held himself. He felt horrible about it. I couldn't understand it back on November 4th as he's having these discussions at home and it gets to us. By the 18th of November, we were well on the case long before he was ever arrested. So this arrest was after several articles came out in Italy, and partially because we're doing our investigation, we're talking to people, people start talking to reporters, so the investigation starts coming out, our investigation with journalists, and we start finding out key information, and articles are written, and then immediately there was a reaction. And the company immediately removed personnel in high-level positions.
So in the midst of all of this, hopefully you could understand that well enough, but in the midst of all of these charges, Leonardo SBA, the guy that worked there for him, how that the U.S. Embassy was involved, you have the government in Italy that just collapses a couple weeks ago. Its government falls apart. And she went on, I don't think I have time to play the last clip, but she talks about, you know, Obama's close ties with Italian officials. I mean, she's making some, they're in many ways huge allegations, but no one seems to be that interested in looking into this. What is it that Satan the devil fears the most? What is it that he hates most of all? He hates being exposed. And from November 3rd all the way through to today, there's some details that didn't play out exactly the way that we were thinking. But one constant in my father's articles and messages throughout has been the fact that he said that God is exposing the fraud. He's exposing the fraud. He says here, and this is the January 2021 Trumpet magazine. He says, the nation's about to be shocked. I believe you're going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. Frauds being exposed. And yet, at the same time, you're going to see the devil do everything that he can to not even let it come up in the discussion. He doesn't want to be exposed. So he does not want it to even be discussed, because he's an angel of light. He tells the truth. And all that we need to do is just take his word for it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can write us at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.